All right, go ahead and grab out your Bible and something to take some notes with. We are finishing up our series through the crowd. All throughout this series, and I honestly, as I read the Gospels, this series just reflects who Jesus was. It talks every story about Jesus. He was followed by crowds. There were just crowds around him. Crowds showed up to hear him. The crowds loved him. They followed. Everything he does, you can almost always count on one sentence saying, and there were crowds of people around him. And yet, as you read the Gospels, in the middle of those crowds, Jesus always saw the individual. He always saw the one who needed him. He always spoke life. He always touched. He always was there for that one who had come. He always saw them. Our theme verse out of Matthew says he saw the crowds, but he was moved not with ego. He was moved not with pride. He was moved not with what he could get out of it. He was moved with compassion, it says. Not all those other things. He was moved with compassion because they were harassed. They were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And so you read, even in the chapter where our verse comes from, in the chapters around it, in all of the chapters in John, you read how he touched the individual, how he saw them. And so today is no different. In fact, today is just one chapter after last week. He's just moving along. So after last week, after the showdown with the Pharisees, after all that had happened, he preaches about how he's the light of the world, and then he shows it. And so then in John chapter 9 is where we're going to be, starting in verse 1. And I love how it starts, because it says, as Jesus went along. So just as he's going, a few of these stories we've told so far, it's just like part of his normal day. As he's going, he just notices. He sees. It says, as he went along, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Let's pause for a moment and just get our minds right in this. All right, blind from birth. We don't know how long that means, but this is a grown man. So he's at least 20, 30, 40 years, he's been blind. Blind from birth. At least 20. We don't know how long this has been, but he has not been able to see. He's never been able to see. I was in a dorm room one time with four or five friends of mine, and we're all sitting around, and I don't know how you guys did college, but this would be like, if you had homework or you had anything to do, you would like bring it to the group and be like, hey, let's all do this. This is going to be a great time. And so one of the guys was taking an education class, and he showed up with this like packet of things he had to do. And one of the sections were all of these colorful dots. I remember that you might have seen this like at the eye doctor. It's all these colorful dots, and inside of them is hidden a number. It's like similarly colored, but you're supposed to be able to see like the number and the dot. And he had all of these different ones. And one guy in the group kept insisting to all of us that there were no numbers. Like there were no numbers. You maybe can guess where this is going, right? This guy finds out in college, like his sophomore year, that he is colorblind. Come on, somebody. In a room full of his peers, which went really well for him. We were very compassionate and filled with things. That's nothing compared to what this guy was. This guy is born blind. We're talking about a guy, he's never seen a sunset, never seen a sunrise, never seen a mountain, never seen a flower, never seen his mom, never seen his dad. He's never seen a Saints game. Come on, like, after last week, it's probably a good reason not to see. Come on, like, it's just not a, he's never seen anything. And he's begging on the side of the road. Now listen, this is different from our context, so let's just bring that into it. Because today there are accommodations and we have technology and there's a lot of different opportunities. In this guy's time period, there is one job begging that he is able to do. He's able to do one thing. He's able to be a beggar because he's born blind. So we read on now in verse 2, his disciples, these are Jesus' disciples who follow him, who learn from him, who have seen him, have compassion. And so his disciples, they ask Jesus as they see this man. His disciples, Rabbi, what can we do for this guy? How can we help him? Rabbi, how can we have compassion on him? It's not what they say. Watch this. What if these disciples, they ask Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? Whose fault is it? How did this guy mess up so badly? How did these things happen? Because listen, in the times of Jesus, anytime there was any kind of physical problem, anytime there was anything like this, everybody just assumed it was somebody's fault. They just assumed that it was that. Obviously, they did something to deserve this. So, Rabbi, we don't even need you to tell us what caused it. Just tell us who it was that did it. Like who, was it this man or was it his parents? Because it has to be, God is punishing them. They must have done something wrong. We don't know what it was, but they must have done something. And I say in this time period, honestly, people still do this. You'll hear people still today, they'll talk about that. Oh, so-and-so has cancer. And people will be like, oh, that's so sad. I wonder what they must have done to deserve that. Or your kids maybe are in drugs or got away from the Lord. I wonder what you must have done. You must have been such a terrible parent that that must have happened. Oh, I'm so sorry that it happened, but it wouldn't have happened to you if you hadn't done something wrong. So I don't know what it might be, a hidden sin. I don't know. I don't know what you got going on, but that wouldn't have happened. That bad thing would not have happened unless you did something wrong. And so listen, to add insult to injury, this guy, he's born blind, spends his whole life begging, cannot see. And now popular opinion about him is it's your fault. It's your fault. You must have done something. We don't know what it is. And then Jesus hears this, sees the man, hears the opinion of the people around him. And Jesus is about to set some things straight. So listen to me today. You may be in a position, and we'll talk about this in a moment, where you are the blind beggar needing something from Jesus. But just make sure you're not one of these people around who have this skewed view of God's love for people. So watch this. Jesus says something stunning in verse 3. He says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened. Don't miss this. This happened. This man born blind, this man spending his life, this tragedy, this happened. So what? So that the works of God might be displayed in his life. This is stunning what Jesus is saying. This happened. This guy was born blind, spent his life begging. Why? So that God could be glorified through what we would call a tragedy. This is bigger than sometimes I think we read it to be. Jesus is saying this happened. He's not sugarcoating. He's not like this kind of happened or this was something. He says, no, this happened so that God would be glorified. Can you see this? Because jot down if you're taking notes. In God's economy, what oftentimes we call setbacks are setups for God to be glorified. What we would call a tragedy in this guy's life is actually an opportunity for God to receive the glory. Not for us to gain anything, not for us to be, at the time, not for us to get rich off. No. He says what this tragedy, what had happened, is so that God would be glorified. And oftentimes in God's economy, that's how it works. Oftentimes, so often what we would call a setback, God calls a setup for him to get the glory. You see this in Scripture all the time. You see this in a young boy named Joseph's life where God gives him a dream of leadership and he's going to have this great thing before him. And like the next day, very shortly after, his brothers beat him up and throw him in a pit, sit down to eat and try to discuss, should we sell him or kill him? Like that's you can't disconnect the two stories. Like he has this dream and then he's in the pit thinking, like hearing them talk about what are we going to do? And we would think setback. And so they sell him into slavery. He goes to Egypt. We would think setback. He gets betrayed. He gets thrown into prison. We would think setback. And God's like, no. This is a setup because I need to preserve a remnant and keep my people because I'm bringing Jesus into the world through these people. This is God working so he receives the glory. What we think are setbacks. You think about David, a little shepherd boy. He gets anointed to be the next king of Israel. And then it's like, and now go watch the sheep. And we would think setback. And God's like, no. It's a setup. Because he's softening his heart and he's learning his times of worship and spending time with the Lord. And then he has to fight the lion and the bear. And we would think, setback. And God's like, no. I have to prepare him in his faith because there's something greater coming. And then Goliath steps on the scene, this giant. And we're like, okay, setback. And God's like, no. This brings David out onto the national stage. And then his name now is being sung. And Saul starts throwing spears and going crazy and chasing him in caves. And we're like, okay, setback. And God's like, no. This is preparing him to lead the kingdom. Even in David's life, even in times he has adultery. And we're like, setback. And God is like, yes, that one is a setback. That is. But even in his brokenness and in his repentance after that season, God is like, I can use this that now for the rest of his life, he'll be a man after my own heart. Things we think are setbacks, God uses to set up for his glory. And Jesus looks at this man, born blind, begging. And he says, no, this is an opportunity for God to be glorified in his situation. You think even Jesus on the cross crucified, we would think setback. And God is like, no, I'm about to save the world. It's just incredible in God's economy. That Jesus looks at this guy. Listen, the Bible talks about this, that we, you and I, we see through a glass. And it's dim. The way we see the world, it's like looking, and we can kind of make out shapes and things, but it's dim the way that we see. One day it says we will see clearly. But right now, we don't see clearly. We can't see what God is working out. But listen to me, in God's economy, often what we see as setbacks, God is setting up for his glory. We only know in part. God knows it all. And the Bible talks about this. His ways are higher than our ways. And so listen to me, jot it down if you're taking notes. We don't have to understand everything to believe that God is at work. Because listen, I don't know if this is news for you. We will not understand everything. But we don't have to understand everything to believe that God is at work. So verse 6, now the story starts to get really strange. I'm just warning you ahead of time, all right? The story takes a turn and it gets a little bit strange, but you just have to deal with it, all right? You read it with me. Bible says they find this guy. Jesus has this conversation with his disciples about who sinned and all this thing. We don't even get told if he talked to this guy at all. Right after he has that conversation, watch verse 6. He says, after saying this, so neither the parents nor he sinned, it's so God can be glorified. He spit on the ground. He made some mud with the saliva. And he put it on the man's eyes. Can we pause for a moment in God's house and admit that this is gross? Come on, somebody. Like this. This is just nasty. This is, now if you read some of the Gospels, you will understand, not as gross as it could be. Because we have studied where Jesus spits directly on the guy. So our guy gets off easy today, right? This is, whether you believe it or not, this is actually getting off easy. So he hacks in the mud. He makes the spit in the mud and all the whatever thing. And he puts it on this guy's. I don't know if you read humor in your Bible, but this guy is blind. He probably hears. Like, again, I don't know how you read these stories, but just think about this. He probably hears Jesus spit. He probably hears the crowd like, ew, like, I don't. And he's probably like, what? What did he do? What is he? And then just boom. Imagine your kid comes home from school. They're like, Mom, Dad, you won't believe what the teacher did. Like, he spit, and then he took the money. Like, can you imagine? There would be lawsuits. Like, kids would be taking it. It'd be this, like, whole thing. He puts it in the mud, sticks it. My kids used to love to make soup. And what I mean by soup is they used to love to, like, put water in jars and, like, just pour it into no jar and stir it around. And they'd be chefs and things, like, restaurant and thing. And because I am the parent, it was my job to test and taste the soup, right? Because your job as a parent is to catch every germ known to mankind. That's just what your job is. Case in point, this is what I just... And so I remember one time, though, they brought it to me, and it was just off. Like, the soup was off. A couple said, you know, like, you ever had that happen? Like, it was just more than normal. Like, more than thing. Like, kind of like, what is going on here? Like, what is it? I come to find out, this time around, they were pouring it on the ground, scooping it up, and putting soap in it to make it clean. That's what the soup of the day. So don't ever eat or drink anything my children give you. There's just your free. But Jesus spits in the mud. Clumps it around, slaps it on this guy's eyes. Verse 7, let's just keep on going. And he says to him, go, he told him, and wash in the pool. Again, I just don't even, it's almost like I have done this to you, and now you need to go wash. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The word means sin. I'm sending you to wash. To which the man said, hallelujah, right? I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm hearing everyone like throw up around me. And so I need to go and wash. So he went, watch this. The man went and he washed. And what happened? Watch this. Don't miss this. And he came home seeing. Jesus puts the mud. Jesus tells him what to do. The man goes to the pool. He washes his off. And he comes home seeing. We could call the service right there and spend the rest of our time together just glorifying God that this miracle, this man who could not see from birth, it is a miracle from God on high that he now can see. And the interesting thing is he doesn't go back to thank Jesus. Like, he didn't even see Jesus. This guy immediately, he goes home. And he like shows, he's like, Mom, Dad, you're not going to believe this. I can see you. Like, I'm able to see. Check this out. I'm able. And watch this. Let's follow the story. Verse 8. His neighbors, so he's at least shouting loud enough for this to be like a thing, right? And so the neighbors show up, and those, my favorite part, those who had formerly seen him begging, came and asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Like, isn't this the same guy? Like, yesterday, wasn't this the guy? Like, didn't I give him $20 last week? That's what they're asking. Like, didn't I see him, like, out on the road? For you cynical among us, this is like you gave the guy a Sherwood Forest intersection, $10, and then you saw him at church in his Maserati or something. Like, that's what this is like. They're like, isn't this Bob who I gave? Isn't this the guy? Like, didn't I get? And some of them, watch this. I love their conversation. Some claimed he was the guy. Probably the ones who gave him money. Others are like, no, he only looks like the guy. But he himself insisted, I am the man. Like, it's me. I can see you. I'm see you. And they're like, no. It's not, this can't be the thing. How then were your eyes open? If you really are the guy, we don't actually believe it yet. We don't. If you were, how then were your eyes? Let's look at this. He wants to celebrate and they want a party. He wants to celebrate and like he wants all these things. And all they want is an explanation. All they want is, how did this happen? They won't party with him. They won't do anything. He's just like, I went and I washed. Okay, Jesus made some mud. He doesn't tell him about the spit, which is understandable. Come on, somebody. He's just like, Jesus made some mud. I don't know how he did it. He just made magic mud. That's what happened. And he put it on my eyes. And he told me to go to the pool and I washed. So I went and I washed and I can see. And they're like, no. What else you got? That's not good enough. Like, give us something else. Like, this, nothing else. Check this out. How were your eyes opened? Listen, can you imagine this conversation? This guy is like, throw me a party. And they're like, no, you sit in the corner. We're going to figure this out. We're going to see what happens. And this guy is like, somebody buy a cake, give me a hat, and give me one of the little thing, because I want to party. I can see for the first time in my life. And they're like, we don't understand this. So we're going to figure this out. You chill over there. We'll explain this to you. So after he said it, watch this. Stupid. One of the stupidest questions in the entire gospel. Because they won't listen to him. He's trying to explain. Finally, they get it. They explain this. And watch this. After he says, where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. I didn't see him. Like, dumbest question. They finally settled on, this is the blind man. He was healed. And then the only thing they can think, where is this man? And I just imagine his thing. He's like, I told you. I didn't see till I washed. I came back and then, where is that? To progress? All right, verse 13. Let's keep going. This, I love that. You're going to bear with me today because I love this story. They brought to the Pharisees, so we can't figure it out. We're not going to have a party. Come with us. We're going to go see. So they brought him to the Pharisees, this man who had been blind. Now watch this. Now on the day, don't miss this part. On the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. This is just like nestled in there. This is just context for you. Because listen, if this was next week, if this was a movie, you know what would happen here? It would say, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Like, because you don't work on the Sabbath. You don't do anything on the Sabbath. And healing is a work in their eyes. And so you don't work on the Sabbath. You don't do these things like this. And so verse 15, it's a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also, they're not asking him because it's such a great miracle. They're not asking him because they're so amazed at what has happened. They're asking, don't miss this. How stupid this is. They are investigating this man born blind who can now see. Their only reason, what they want, therefore, is because it was done on a Sabbath. How blind. You can tell who the actual blind people in this story are. Like, how they want to know, like, okay, this is, you tell us. Now, listen, this poor guy, he wants a party, but he's like, okay, fine. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Can you imagine what's going on with this guy? He put mud, I washed, and I see. I can imagine, he's probably thinking this of the people, like, don't you understand? 22 years, 35 years, 47 years, I don't know how long, I've not been able to see. And now I'm looking at all of you. Now I can see you. I don't know a lot. I don't know many things. I don't understand. I can't explain. But I know this, that I can see now. That I can see. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees, they said, this man is not from God, talking about Jesus. For he does not keep the Sabbath. This is the group that wins out, by the way. But others ask, how could a sinner perform such signs? And so they were divided. Now, the first group is the stronger. They went out. So you can tell more of them are in this camp. In other words, but watch this. This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. They have their rule. They have their thing. They're staking everything on. Jesus, the Son of God, has just healed this man, opened his eyes. And they're like, this man can't be from God, because he's done something that we feel he should not do. There's no way he could be. In other words, we have the monopoly on God. We know how God should act. We know the things that should happen. We know all this. This man could not possibly be from God. Let's contextualize it a little bit more personally. This is, well, that you just don't do it that way at our church. God just doesn't move in that way because we have the monopoly on God. In fact, we have God in a back room somewhere. We would show him to you, but he might get out and we can't have that. And so we know how God should work, and it's not that. In other words, God would never answer that prayer, so why are you praying like that? Or God has to do this or that. If you do this, then God is just obligated to do that. He'll always do it. And you see this in the church world all the time. You see people say it about our church. Well, God, no way God could move over there because, you know, the music is too loud or the pastor doesn't wear a suit. Come on, somebody. It's just no way God could be a move. Because I heard in October they watch movies and eat popcorn. So I don't think God could possibly move. Got that popcorn devil over there. That's what they got. Let's bring it a little more personally. I've heard people in our church talk about other places like that. Well, no way God could move over there because it's just too traditional. And they got those pews and sit down, stand up kind of thing. Going, no way God could move. How prideful and insulting to God to say that God can't work somewhere. That God can't do something. And just because we don't understand, you can't see God at work. Just because it's not fitting in their box, you can't see God at work. Just because we can't understand something doesn't mean that God's not at work. In fact, I would almost argue oftentimes he's the most at work. He's the most. That's good preaching. Thank you very much. That's what that is. That's what that is. No, you're too late. You're too late, everybody. All right. Just because we don't understand it. Just because we don't understand it. Back and forth. So they keep going in this story. I have to summarize some of this. Again, read this story. John chapter 9. They're arguing with this guy. They're arguing with each other. It's a back and forth. They're going, they're like, listen, Jesus did this. No, he didn't do it. This is the guy born blind. They go back to the neighbors. No, it's not him. It's this whole thing. Finally, they're like, we got the wrong guy. Then they're like, okay, he is the guy. Finally, they say, okay, call his mama and daddy. Let's just like get them over here. Call his parents and let's ask them. So they call the guy's parents. They show up in front of the Pharisees. And they ask them, is this your son who was born blind? And mom and dad, the mom is like, yep, that's him. That's our boy. And they're like, how then does he see? And you read this. This is fascinating. It gives the reasoning. The parents won't give an answer. Because the Bible says they know if they say what they actually know to be true, they will be tossed out of the synagogue. And so they're like, yes, that's our son, but we don't know. Like, they won't give it. It's almost like a business giving a employee reference. You ever had this before? Like, thing, like trying to think, yes, he was employed here, but no, we can't say anything more about him. Like, this is what they're saying. Anybody ever worked in, like, HR? Anybody, like, ever? Yeah. You ever called for? I've called places to get references, and nowadays you can't say anything about an employee without getting sued. And so they'll be like, yes, we can confirm that they worked here. And I've had people be like, yes, we can confirm they worked here. And they absolutely do not work here anymore. I'm like, okay, thank you. Yes, say no more. I understand. Like, you do what you have to do. Come on, somebody. Like, you just, the parents are like, yes, he is our son, but we don't know. We can't say anymore. Ask him. He's a grown person. Ask him. So they do. Again, verse 24, the Bible says this. A second time, the Pharisees, they summoned the man who had been born blind. And here's how they started. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. Jesus. We know he's obviously a sinner. We don't understand what he's doing, and you can't do what he did, and so it's not in our wheelhouse, so he must be a sinner. And this blind guy replies with wisdom nobody else has in this story. Watch, he replies, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. He's at least willing to admit, I don't know. I don't understand. One thing, though, I do know. I don't know a lot, but one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. One thing I have. I was blind. I can't explain it all. In fact, I tried to explain it all, and you guys laughed at me. So forget it. Like, just, you didn't give me my cake or my hat. I don't know. I don't know this whole thing about healing on the Sabbath. I don't understand whether from God or not. I don't know. There are many things I don't understand. But one thing that is undeniable, 3-4 hours ago, I woke up blind, and now I can see. One thing that is undeniable. Listen, in my own walk with Christ, there are times where I will question things that happen. There are times that I will walk through, and there are things on this side of eternity that I will never understand. But listen to me, even though there are things that I don't understand, there are things that I cannot deny. There are things in our lives that is undeniable. Listen, it is undeniable that Christ changed me. That I was a sinner lost in sin, that I tried my best to free myself from those. It is undeniable that God changed my heart, that through his word he spoke to me. If you have ever met a Christian who has been changed by the love of Christ, listen to me, you don't have to explain it all. You don't have to understand it all. You might not even believe it, but you cannot deny that that person is changed. You cannot deny the change that is on the inside of their life. It is undeniable to me that when God's word is shared, when Christ is preached and him crucified, that people's lives are changed. It is undeniable. And so there are things we will not understand. But listen, there are things we cannot deny. We cannot deny. And so everybody wants to debate, well, God should have, and God could, and God could never do, and God never did this, and God did thing. One thing I know, I don't know it all, but one thing I know is that I was blind and now I see. One thing I know, that I was blind and now I see. There are things that are undeniable. And so the story continues, because they actually kicked this guy out. You think it all ends in roses. Now watch this. They kick this guy out. They call him back in. They're like, tell us again what happened. I love this story so much. It's just, it is three clowns in a circus. This is what the story, verse 27. They're like, tell us again what happened. He answered, I have told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Is that what? He's probably like, hey, maybe this is, would you like to follow him? I love this guy. He's like, I told you a million times. I don't care anymore. I'm going to go have my party. Do you want to become his disciples? Is that what you want to hear? So they begin to revile this guy. What? Imagine how this guy's day is going. Like, he wakes up blind. He's begging. He meets Jesus. He can see. Nobody believes him. Now the religious leaders who he is seeing for the first time in his life are hurling insults at him. Watch it. They hurl insults, making fun of this guy. He's like, Anyways, he said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, this guy, we don't even know where he comes from. I love this guy. The man answered, now that is remarkable. That's amazing. You smart people in your big robes and all your things. You don't even know where he came from. You don't know where he comes from. Yet he opened my eyes. How amazing is that? And they get so fed up with, I love this guy. They get so fed, they throw him out. Throw him out of the synagogue. He's out. It's a big stink. It's what happens. So verse 35, watch this. Jesus hears what has happened. He hears this guy gets thrown out. So he finds him. And when he finds him, he asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man replied. Who is he? In other words, the man's saying, like, I don't know everything. I don't understand everything. I don't know, but who is he? Just tell me who he is so that I would believe in him. And Jesus said, you have now, I love the wording, you have now seen him. You have now seen him. I don't know if you've ever seen a person who is far from God, who's been told their entire life God is mad at them, God hates them, God could never love them, all these things. I don't know if you've ever had that opportunity to see somebody who's so far from God for the first time get a picture of who Jesus is. For the first time realize that Jesus loves them. For the first time realize that they have an opportunity for eternal life. That God isn't mad at them. That God's trying to save them. That Jesus, his love is available to them. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But Jesus looks at this guy who was blind and now he can see. It's in the physical, but now in the spirit, he looks at him. He says, you have now seen him. You've ever seen somebody, you've ever been around somebody who for the first time sees Jesus. And maybe somebody who's here today, somebody watching all, I don't know, maybe for the first time, for the first time you see him. For the first time you're seeing his love is available for you. For the first time you're seeing Jesus who loves people, who gave his life for us. And Jesus said, you have now seen him. And the man said, Lord, it's enough. I've only been able to see a few hours, but I've seen enough. I don't understand everything, but it's enough. I don't understand it all. Honestly, Lord, I've had a pretty confusing day. This is probably what he's... But it's enough. I believe. And then he worshiped him. Listen, when there is something that we don't understand, and we say things like, well, I prayed this way, and it didn't happen, or I believe God should have done it this way, and it didn't happen, it didn't come through. And honestly, that's where most of my questions come from. Let's just be honest with each other. And we don't pray it like that, because we are intelligent people. We don't go before God and say, well, God, you should have, and God, you did, and God. No, no, we pray it. I pray it the way most people have prayed it. God, if I were you, I would have. Oh, God, I don't understand why you don't. And we can pray prayers like that, and then we can say, well, I saw in the news that this happened, and so I have questions, or I have this theological thing I'm wrestling, and so now I just don't know. And listen to me. Yes, we continue to grow and to learn and to pursue. I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying that I remember I don't have to understand everything to believe that God is still on his throne, to believe that Christ died for us, to believe that he is at work in the world. I don't have to understand it all to believe that God loves me. And I know setbacks come. Listen, there are things that we don't understand, but I know that God is at work. And in my moment of trial and hardship, in my season of what I go through, I know that he is at work, that God would be glorified. Jesus starts this story with that stunning phrase, that God would be glorified, that his glory would be made in this situation, in this season. So I don't have to understand it all to know that in my trial and in my season, that God is working, that God is at work, that he would receive glory. And I can say like this man, Lord, I believe, and I can worship. Bow your heads as we pray today. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. Lord, those of us with questions that we came in here, Father, with things we don't understand. God, I pray. Lord, as we express that, God, as we go to you in prayer and we say, Lord, I don't understand this. Lord, I pray you would give us faith in these seasons of not understanding. Give us faith to know you. God, that even though there are things that are unexplainable, Lord, there are things that we cannot deny. And so, Lord, that we would stand in faith, holding to you, holding on to you in these seasons. God, I pray for those who had faith and who lost it, that you would speak to their hearts, Father, they would regain their faith today and be restored. God, I pray that their faith would not be built on the season or the circumstances. They would be built on your truth. And listen, church, as you continue to pray today, some of you, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in your life, you're seeing Jesus. For the first time, maybe you're not physically blind, but maybe spiritually, you've never seen him. Maybe somebody told you a lie. Maybe somebody put you down. Maybe somebody set your life on a course. Maybe somebody lied to you about who God was and what he thought about you. And maybe for the first time, you're seeing Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God who gave his life for you. That he laid down his life that you and I could be saved. And so if you're seeing him for the first time, you have a chance right now to respond. And say, it'd be my honor to pray with you. I'm not going to make you raise your hand or come to the front. I'm not in this to embarrass you. Right now, where you are, in your seat, watching online, whatever it is, right now you have a chance to say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I don't understand everything. I don't know everything, but I believe in Jesus. It'd be our honor to pray with you. Listen, I can give you the words. You have to say them and mean them in your own heart. You have to choose to repent. And so right now, our church, would love to pray with you. Nobody prays alone. Right now, say these words if that's you. And come on, church, let's pray with them. Say, Jesus, I believe. Forgive me of all of my sin, all my mistakes. I believe you died on the cross. And I believe you rose again. And I make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, church, can we give God praise?